This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Marjorie Punnett.
I'm Elizabeth Reese.
This is Best of the Nest, the podcast that's all about creating strong, comfortable, beautiful nests that prepare us to fly. Oh my goodness, Elizabeth, I am looking at myself. You know, this is the thing about doing a podcast. We have to look at ourselves the whole time. I love looking at you. Sometimes it's a little harder to look at myself, but not this morning.
No.
I'm feeling like I'm having a particularly good skin morning.
You are having a great skin day, and that is thanks to our presenting sponsor, Pour Moi Climate Smart Skincare. You also have great genes, but I will tell you, I mean, I'm noticing a real, it's interesting because—
Are you really?
Yeah, it's like just the right amount of dew on your skin. And this is what people say. My neighbor came over the other day and she said, I had no makeup on. She popped over on Sunday morning and she was like, oh my gosh, your skin looks so good. And I am telling you, this is why I keep singing the praises of Pour Moi Climate Smart Skincare. And we love having them on board as a supporter of Best to the Nest.
But you should try it as well. I really have loved the routine of it. It's just a few products. It's an easy routine in the morning, also at night. When I wake up in the morning, I just love the way my skin feels and I love the way that it looks. So affordable skincare from France. It's proven for anti-aging results. Pour Moi Climate Smart Skincare. Use code NEST for an extra 20% off with 100% money back guarantee. Go to pourmoiskincare.com. That's P-O-U-R-M-O-I skincare.com. I like looking at myself. It's kind of fun.
I know. It really makes a big difference. You never wake up with your skin tight or your skin feeling oily. Your skin just is, which is so great. It's been kind of funny because as we've been talking over the last few months, Marjorie, about just going through really difficult things and how like those little things like your skincare routine, or maybe it's like your really lovely cup of coffee or it's your morning walk. It's fascinating how when life feels like out of control, how those things are like your little lifelines. Those are the things that make the biggest difference.
It's what saves you. I mean, if for me, and after Ian died, if I didn't walk every day, I just, it's what kept me standing, is just the routine of like, okay, I have to go for a walk tonight. I have to go for a walk tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard.
I had, I took a walk yesterday morning, and I will say as much as like walking brings me great joy, yesterday was probably the hardest walk I've ever taken because we had to say goodbye to our dog over the weekend. And it was my first walk alone without, sometimes I would leave her home if I was like, I can't manage a dog and I just want to be on my own.
But the routine of it is different.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about this today because we always share things on this podcast of what we're going through. And we had to say goodbye to she was 10 and a half, our German short hair pointer, Gracie. And we got her when she was a tiny puppy. And she was Jay's hunting dog. This was like his dream dog, was to get his own hunting dog. And they would pheasant hunt together. Much to his dismay, she was not interested in being near water at all. So she was not interested in any sort of duck hunting, but the pheasant hunting made up for it. And we were on a trip. So we went to Texas for spring break to visit my middle sister who lives there. She has four kids and they moved to Texas. And this was our first time getting to go see their house. And so we had this week trip planned. We went Monday to Friday and it was so wonderful. Like the trip was so wonderful. And it was the first trip that I've taken with my children since becoming a mother where I didn't feel like so stressed and right. where I didn't have the feeling going into it that this was not going to be worth the cost. To be perfectly right. frank, I have right. felt that about every trip with my children. It's not that I haven't felt like it was important and we go to California to visit friends. We have right. rented a house in Palm Springs the last couple of spring breaks and stayed there. And particularly the Palm Springs trips, I felt there is no way that the cost is worth this because right. it's so stressful. I'm stressed about the flight. I'm stressed about someone is not going to be sleeping. I'm not going to
Yeah. It's so much extra
work. I'm resentful. I'm like, I'm not going to get to have as much fun as Jay. I just know this because he's going to still make it fun. And I'm going to be like all stressed out because I'm not going to be sleeping and it's going to be a whole thing. And I mean, really, like that has been the reality.
I have to tell you, my mom told me this once, and this is so funny that you say this, is that her mother, so my mom grew up in Chicago in the 1930s, and the tradition still existed that people from Chicago would go up to Wisconsin to cabins.
Oh yeah, it's still there.
In the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
And my mom said that my grandmother always used to say, because they never did that, that was never a tradition in their family, is my grandmother would say, why would I do that? My life stays exactly the same, whether I'm here or there.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the 1930s. Very so funny. Nothing has changed.
And it actually gets harder because you don't have your own stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't mean to judge you, but it's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That really does make me feel better because 100 years later, I'm still feeling, I feel that. And like, as much as things have changed, things always stay the same. So this trip was finally like, okay, I'm feeling good. And I feel like I wasn't nervous about going. I felt like we timed it great. Here's a couple of my pro tips. If you can swing it to travel Monday through Friday and then buffer with the weekends, like I felt no stress ending work on Friday. I mean, the Friday, then we took the kids out to dinner. We did like a cheers to kick off spring break, knowing that we had a couple of days at home. And then I had all day Sunday to like, you know, the kids were packing themselves. Bernie made a packing list for herself and for the boys and like directed the packing operation. It was incredible. She loved it. She drew a full packing list, like complete with illustrations of the different clothing items she was bringing.
The middle-aged woman trapped in a child's body.
She's an oldest daughter, which is a blessing and a curse because I'm that too. But she I just was thinking like Heathcliff, you know, Heathcliff's a little bit of my wild card still. He's 3.5. Right. And he had a couple moments on the flights where it was like meltdown, but very minimal. I mean, just like he's loves headphones. He loves to watch movies. If you keep him funneling snacks into his pie hole, he is in pretty good happiness. So I like went to the co-op and just bought all these snacks and went. So we just had so much fun. And my sister and I were like, we have made it. Like, look at us. Our youngest is 3. We got to go to a wine bar together and shop together one night. It just was it was the best trip that I've had with our family. And so throughout that, we had known that Gracie was deteriorating. And before we left, I mean, Jay had been saying for like the month before, he's like, I don't know. He didn't even book the doggy hotel for her until the weekend that we were leaving because he was so convinced that we were going to have to say goodbye to her. So she would have seizures, like, you know, like one, not super often, but like once a year, once every 18 months, we were always in contact with the vet about it. And he was of the school of thought that we weren't going to put her on anti-seizure medication until it was like they were out of control.
Right.
And medications come with their own side effects and all these different things. So you have to like manage the positives and the negatives. But she had one last May when I was in Ireland and she was home with Jay and it was the worst one that he'd seen. And it was like, after that, she just was not the same. Like she was more anxious. She walked kind of funny.
So it did some damage.
She was in some pretty intense neck pain and over time, like at first it was okay, but then over the next couple months, it's like if you got near her neck, she would yelp. She was never aggressive. She was literally did not have a mean bone in her body, but she would kind of yelp. And so we then brought her into the vet. We got her on like some anti-inflammatories and some pain meds. And he said sometimes that can kind of just like do a reset on them. And that seemed to help a lot. But then it was after that, it was like so many digestion problems. And she was a GSP, so she was really lean. And she was always a lean dog. And right. We were always monitoring her weight. But over the last few months, I mean, it was just like she was just could not keep any weight on. And so we ended up taking her to the doggy daycare for this trip. They were keeping us, they were calling us and kind of filling us in on how she was doing, and she was having some digestive issues. Turned out she was overdue on one vaccine that she needed, and so, which we didn't realize. And so they ended up having to take her to the vet to get the vaccine. And the vet said, okay, now she's down like 2 more pounds. I need to see her when you guys get back. So when then they were telling us, you know, she was eating, she was doing okay, she was getting better. They were adding pumpkin to her food, which seemed to be helping her, all her digestion and all these things. Well, we got home from the trip and Jay went to pick her up, Jay and Bernie. And she was like, fine. You know, she was good when she saw them. She was happy and came out. And then it was like the second she got into our yard, she started just like shutting down. And I went out to like greet them when they came home with her. And I was like, oh my God, like she is so thin. Like she's not good.
Right.
And I honestly think she was like waiting until she got home.
Yeah.
And then she hopped up on the couch on her spot. We have like this chaise in our front window and this faux fur blanket that lays on it that she always, that's like her spot. And she loves to like look out the window there. She completely bypassed her food and her water. And I even like made her, I've been like trying all these extra food things to just keep right. getting her to eat. And this, like, it's like this raw dehydrated food that I would put water in that she loved. And she didn't even like look at it. And she laid down on the couch and she just was like panting. And I just was like, we have to go.
Poor thing.
So we took her in and we just all had to say goodbye. And it's just so hard. And it's like, even when you're prepared and it's your dog and you know, they're not going to live forever. And honestly, I mean, there were a lot of struggles in the last few months too. Like she was waking me up 2 times a night to go outside. And if she wasn't going outside, if I didn't make it, or if I like was sleeping and didn't wake up, then she was having accidents. And so I was like cleaning the carpet all the time. I mean, and then you start to think like, how long can we live like this? Where it's right. just like, we have to like start to kennel her and keep her in a kennel, which she doesn't want to do because we can't risk her like running around the house.
Right.
All those like old dog things that are so hard. And I know you've been through this too. And so it's just so hard, but I haven't ever had where like I didn't have another dog when we had to say goodbye to my Westie. We still had Gracie. And so at right. least it was like, I still had a walking buddy, you know, like
right, right.
now I'm just like putting away the dog bowls and it's just,
you know, difficult. It's, our dog Jack, I think we lost him in 2021.
Yeah.
And he never recovered from, he had had dental surgery. And the vet had left the heating mat on.
Oh.
And so he got burned, very severely burned, his whole belly.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
So we, and they were, it was so severe that he stayed at the vet's for 2.5 months because they had, I mean, it was like he was in the burn unit.
Oh my gosh.
And they had said to us, do you want to bring him home and we can show you how to care for him? And we're like, no, you need to take care. I mean, it was so egregious. And so, and part of it is they, I didn't dig into too much of how they could have let it happen. It happened. You know, at that point, you're like, it happened. But now yeah. you've got to help this dog and keep him, you know, because they have a special, like they have a special bath that they put him in. And they, so we would go visit him every day because the vet was really close. So we would go visit him every day. But when he came home, and he was an old dog, he was already an old dog, but he never really, we brought him home. He never really recovered from the trauma of that. And so it's kind of like what you were saying about Gracie is it's like, his quality of life was just not, he was nosediving and his quality of life was terrible. And that was Ian's buddy. I mean, that was his, I mean, Jack would, I think dogs, often dogs have one like primary person that they love. And then
that's Jay
and
then, with Gracie.
And so, and I used to tease Ian. I said, you know, Jack's like in love with you because Jack would sit and just stare at him. And just stare, he would be on the couch or he'd always be near him or on him. And when Ian was doing, you know, Ian lived in a couple different, when he got his PhD, Jack went with him. When he went to go student teach, Jack went with him. So Jack was always the constant in Ian's life, you know, when he was at school and going through all those professional transitions. And he was so sad because I think when you have to say goodbye to a dog and you're in the room when they're giving the dog the shot, I mean, it's essentially you're euthanizing another living being. It's very traumatic. And it was, I sort of held on to Jack's head. Ian was just, I've never seen him so sad. And so, you know, you were saying before we started the podcast, you're like, we knew we were going to talk about Gracie, and you said to me, I know it's not like what you've been through in losing my husband, but what I said to you then, and which is true, is, well, first of all, love is love. And you can't, there's no equivalency in grief. Grief is real, and you have lost a part of your family. I mean, Gracie's a part of your family, and you lost somebody in your family, and that's just, that just is. And I think there is an element that's harder when you know it's not a choice. You know that you have to help deliver Gracie from her pain. But there's something about the fact that it is still a choice. Do you know what I mean? That's what Ian was really struggling with. And I, for him, took a video of the last day with Jack, mostly so that we would have a record. So if he started to doubt himself, he could look at Jack and go, no, 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 no. Jack truly is in a better place because Jack was suffering.
I know.
But I think that's part of the difficulty of saying goodbye to a dog.
Yeah.
Is when you have to make the choice to say goodbye. It still feels like a choice. It's weird.
I know. It totally does. I took a picture of her too on the last day, right before when I was alone with her before, because I stayed with her the whole time and Jay went out with the kids. And then I was looking at like all these old videos of her and even ones from just like a few months ago. And I'm like, this was not the same. And I'm grateful for like a swift decline. And I'm grateful to have known that day, just like I did with Henry. Like, I'm so grateful that I didn't have any question. I mean, I saw her and I, and she was on the couch and I was like, we have to go. Today's the day. Like, this is it. And so I didn't have any doubt about that. And I felt that, and I stayed with her and, you know, she didn't move from her bed the whole time. Like, we brought her bed out to the back of Jay's car. And then Jay carried her like a baby out to the car and put her in. And she was like losing control of her like bowels while he's walking, carrying her. I mean, it was like very difficult. And then they brought out a gurney and they just slid her. And I just kept her on her bed the whole time. And the bed has like little burn marks because we would move it right in front of the fireplace when we have a fire. And then sometimes like a little crackle comes out.
And
I was like looking at the little holes. But, you know, it's just hard. And you just, you're right. And it's like losing. It's also like, I think with dogs and any pet, I mean, a cat too, whatever, you know, whatever pet you have. I mean, we've had two dogs in the last 20 years, but so two dogs in the last 20 years is, it's such a symbol of that time in your life passing you by. And I think the grief is with that too, where like, I remember when I had to say goodbye to Henry, he was 13. I got Henry when I was 22. He was literally my first baby. He's a Westie. I would ride around town in a bike, on my bike with a basket in the front. And he would ride in the basket because if he would get too hot when we were on a walk, he would just lay down. And I was like, what is the purpose of having this dog if we can't like go out and do stuff together? And so he would ride everywhere with me. People would recognize Henry on the street. Like, they'd be like, it's Henry. I mean, it was, he went from Duluth with me to Green Bay with me in like my darkest times when I was just like, what am I doing? And then moved to Minneapolis. And when I bought a house in Minneapolis, I was like, I have to be within 10 minutes of the station because I have to be able to run home and let him out if I have a long day. Right. I mean, these were like my life decisions revolved around him.
Henry.
And it was like my single girl and a dog days. And when he passed, it was just such a goodbye to that period in my life too. And I think, you know, we got Gracie. Gracie was almost exactly 1 year older than Bernie. So it's, she has been through, like, we got married, we got Gracie, and she has been our marriage. And it, and a symbol of like, also when things have gotten hard, like when we've had, you know, I felt overwhelmed by Gracie a lot of times. I felt like there's a lot of mixed emotions there. And at the end, you just are like, I hope that like I was good enough to her.
Sweetie. Of course you are.
It's just very hard. This is why, like, I can't even talk about this on TV because this is what I'll do.
This is why it's good we're not on YouTube yet.
I know. It's like, it's such an ugly the amount of cry, times. Too. I mean, I can't do this when I have mascara on. For the love of God, it'll be like a horror movie. I mean, it's just...
Okay.
So I don't know.
Because we have to find humor in our grief. That is one of the things I realized when I was crying nonstop for days and days and days after Ian died. I would look at myself and be like, you're a really ugly crier. Like, you know, like in a movie, like people look beautiful. Like something like happens so profound to my face. Like it all falls.
Because it's in a movie, but it's not real. They're like using Visine to get those tears. Because, and they have so much Botox that they can't even like crumple. Like I crumple. Right. I mean, my Pour Moi Climate Smart Skincare does not prevent me from crumpling, which is what I love about it.
Well, this is a good time to talk about Pour Moi.
This is a good time.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
We can thank our presenting sponsor of Best to the Nest, which is Pour Moi Climate Smart Skincare. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I know Uli just lost a dog recently too, which is I know she knows what that feeling is like. But boy, we really do love this skincare line. And I will tell you, if you're not using it yet, it is the time. And it's spring as we're recording this, it's mid-April. And this is the perfect time to do that shift. And we should all be switching our skincare seasonally. And Pour Moi Climate Smart Skincare is the only skincare line out there that does it intuitively, that each product is designed for each season and even the weather down to the actual day. So like when I went to Texas, I planned which day cream I was going to bring based on what the weather was going to be like there. I did the same thing when I went to Hawaii recently. So Marjorie, if you zip back to Arizona to visit friends, you know, you pack the desert day cream and you're good to go. But it's the best skincare line I've ever used. It's the only skincare line I use. And I love it. I know you will too. You got to use it.
Yeah, it has been. What I have found about having the routine of Pour Moi, this is just an aside, is that because I think about my face in the morning and I think about it at night, I mean, I am religious about following the skincare regime, is that now I'm more careful about sunscreen.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to take a step backwards. So I think that's what's been really great also is the products are so wonderful and I can feel the difference in my skin, but it has heightened my awareness of, oh, my skin looks better. Let's keep that going. So now I put sunscreen on. Now I make sure I wear a hat when I go outside and do yard work. And so it's all these things sort of layer on. And then I'll tell you, this is just a complete aside. So a friend of mine told me that she was using Frownies. Do you see these are all over Instagram?
I know. I've wondered
about
those. And
my mom used to use these in the day. And if you don't know what Frownies are, they're little pieces. They're just these little pieces of like, they look like
It's like surgical something kind of.
Yeah, it's just like what's the wrapping paper you use? You tell me all the time.
Oh, like
brown.
Yeah, craft paper.
It looks like craft paper, but it's got a little bit of glue on it. And I don't want to do, I've done Botox in the past. I don't want to do that anymore because at a certain point, I just have to Botox, you know, I'm going to be 60. So there's just, you don't want to like do a little part or whatever. I don't want to do it anymore. And the one thing that's really noticeable for me, and these, you know, Formol has been great for fine lines, but when you have the little 11s,
yeah,
you know, after years of producing, those are profound for me, mm-hmm, of frowning.
Furrow,
and
yep,
being, you know, concerned. So I bought frownies and I've been using them and it's hysterical. I mean, I think they flatten them out. So I'll report back to everybody that if it actually does make a difference, yeah, for the deep 11s, for the very deep 11s. But it's been funny. And this is one of the things that I try and look for. I try and find joy every day. And when the frownies came and I put them on my face, the joy of the days, I mean, I miss my husband desperately, but I thought if he were here, I could never use these because he would tease me if I were walking around. Oh my gosh. And so I can put them on because nobody can see me.
That's so it's funny. Fine. Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, use that promo code too, everybody. Nest at PourMoiSkincare.com, PourMoi skincare.com. That saves you 20% on the PourMoi products that we love so much. So as we move on in this conversation, Marjorie, now I like told you the ugly cry story, but it really was making me think a lot about that. As I was telling you, you know, we went on this trip that was so great, and then we lose Gracie, like that juxtaposition of something so great and then something so hard being literally 12 hours apart,
right,
is such a fascinating thing. And I was on the phone with my best friend, Tanya, yesterday, who is a nester, as you know. She's been on the podcast too. She's a veterinarian. So she's also a wonderful person to talk to about, you know, anything related to my animals. And she loved Gracie so much. And we were talking about just like that whiplash and how it can be so, it's like exhausting to have two extreme emotions right up next to each other. So I was like so happy and like this trip was so fun. And then the loss of Gracie was so hard. And I was thinking so much about how our bodies always crave homeostasis. You know, your body is doing anything it can to get to homeostasis. It wants to be, if you're overhydrated, it's going to sweat and pee to get the hydration out. If you're underhydrated, it's going to shrink so that you know, can like still function without the water. It's such a miraculous thing. But how emotionally that can feel so draining when you are experiencing like something so high and so low, and then they're right up against each other.
Right.
I don't know. It's just an interesting thing. But then I wonder, like, was the good there to really buffer the bad that was coming? I don't, you know, it gets tricky.
Yeah. The minute I think trying to sort out why and how and when things happen.
Yeah.
I have realized, can
Futile.
Drive you a little, yeah, can drive you a little bit mad.
Right.
And I think that, you know, when we lost Jack, and I think this will be the challenge for you and your family going forward. And, you know, for us, our boys were already out of the house, but it was still sad for them. That was the dog of their childhood.
Yeah.
And so I think the challenge for you, for yourself and for Jay, I know must be so, so sad.
Yeah.
So sad. But for the kids is, how do you frame the sadness that it becomes a tool for them or lesson for them and how to manage grief? And I think that's going to be, I think about this every day, is what I have to go through this grief. I don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. So how do I do that? And how do I do that so that it matters and so that it's not self-absorbed and so that it's not debilitating and so that there's a purpose to the fact that my husband's gone? Because there has to be, I mean, obviously the universe doesn't, what I was going to say is there has to be a reason, but, and then I almost backed it away from it, but I'm going to stick with that. There has to be a reason for the grief. There has to be a reason that my life now looks so different.
Yeah.
And it has to, I have to make it worthy. And I think the same is true for Gracie. It has to be, if you have to go through it, and there is such sadness, if you're going to have to go through it, what will be the greater good that will come out of it? What is the greater good for the kids? Because they're in it. They've lost their dog. Mm-hmm. They've, you know, they're, even Heathcliff, you know, this is death. So how do you manage what they take forward from this event? Because that's the only good that will come of it, is somehow using it as a lesson of strength and of love and of goodness. So what does that look like? And trust me, you know, my husband died on December 22nd. I'm still trying to figure that out, but I can't let my grief, I can't. And I tell myself that I cannot let it be what breaks me.
Yeah.
So
when you think about like the loss of a pet too, you know, almost using it as like a learning experience to know that you are strong enough to go through. And we, you know, we talk about this a lot here, but I think one of the greatest disservices that we can do as parents and just as people to ourselves is to not fundamentally believe that we are strong enough to go through what life gives us. Because then what happens if we don't believe that we're strong enough to go through, then we're spending all of our time trying to get around it by numbing it with something that is never going to, it's never going to fill the void ever. It's just looking externally for something to try to pacify ourselves as we move forward. And that's one thing that I've just been so proud of you with, seeing how you've handled this grief, is that it is, you just have this fundamental understanding that the only way to go is through. The only way to go is through. And even if you're going at a snail's pace, and even if it's like one tiny foot in front of the other, it's just, you go through. You can't go around, and you can't bury your head in the sand and try to numb it, because it's still just going to be sitting there. And I, everything comes back to backyard chickens with me, Marjorie. As you know, what I value in life is backyard birds and poultry. But we've lost many a chicken. And I do think that that has really helped our kids, because we just have this core family value and this understanding that whatever animal we have, we give that animal the best possible life that we can. And then we understand that there will be a time when it passes. And so even my kids have said, like, well, we've lost a chicken. And obviously a dog is different than a chicken, you know, but as you said, like, grief is grief. And every time you experience grief and you go through that spiritual practice of going through instead of going around, I think it can make anything hard at least a little bit more manageable if you believe in the strength that you have within yourself.
You have to. And I think that's interesting when you say it's a core value of saying, this is our pet. We're going to give it the best life we can. We're going to do the best we can every day. I would say that extends to your own family members, because you don't know when you'll lose somebody. You don't know. And so you have to, I mean, it goes back to the core of our value on this podcast, is best to the nest, is that you really have to try. And both of us would be the first to tell all of you that we have many days where we fail. But the core value is bringing your best every day, because you honestly don't know when your life will change in a way that's so dramatic, and you'll lose somebody, or you'll lose a pet, or you'll lose what, you may lose your job. Whatever is going to come at you, there will be loss in your life. I don't wish that on anybody, but that's just, you were saying, you know, being an adult is hard. Being an adult, especially as you get older, is based in loss. There's so much loss. And so you have to have the coping skills to get through it. There are times where I don't feel like I'm strong enough. And my son is very sweet, but the for me in this grief is, he'll say to me, "Mom, you need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to somebody." And that's true. And I do need to talk to somebody, because what I also am acutely aware of is I cannot make my son my therapist. He's grieving. He has to do that. He can't hold me up and grieve at the same time. So all of these things are about strength and figuring out how to do it. And you're just figuring out how to do it with Gracie. But I think it is not good that you're going through it, but it's good that you're aware that you are shepherding your family through it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they'll need to know how to do this as they get older.
Yeah.
They'll need to know how to deal with loss as they get older. Because they're all going to date. They're all going to have, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends. And let me tell you, 16-year-old breakups, that is about loss.
Soul crushing.
It's soul crushing. So those are the things. I mean, and this is, I think, the way we have to look at family is everything is a preparation for being stronger and for understanding how to navigate life. And so that can be the blessing of Gracie's passing is how can the family become stronger because of it? Mm-hmm. It's how our family is looking at how do we move on without a central figure in our family?
Right.
How do we get stronger for having lost him?
The only way to go is through.
Through.
Oh, Marjorie.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Love you. This is what we do, you guys. This is, you know, you guys, we hope you're laughing a little bit. And, you know, even if you uncomfortable laugh when you listen, it doesn't offend us. It's not going to hurt us. If you have to like bust out in a laugh during the ugly cry, if you can imagine the ugly cry faces, you can chuckle.
And if you want to talk amongst yourselves about us and like what the hell is going on with the two of them, we are okay with that too.
We'd really prefer if you'd share the podcast with people so more people listen. But every time someone comes up to me and grabs me by the arm, pulls me close and whispers, I'm a nester, I'm reminded of the goodness of these conversations. So if you are enjoying this podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a review at Apple Podcasts. But if you write, these two cry too much, we don't want to hear it.
Actually, that would make me laugh if somebody wrote a review and said, oh my God, these two women, all they do is cry. They just cry and cry.
What do you want us to do? Okay. Cripes.
We are doing the best that we can. We are.
Best of the Nest.
You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Best of the Nest. We are the podcast that brings you home.